If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
This is the stinking truth.
So anyhow, all right, all that stuff aside, all the sappy stuff aside, man, let's get to the National Football League and the stinking truth. What's going on, buddy?
Well, listen, I think the talk of the town in the NFL world right now is at the wide receiver position. You've got on one end the fruitful, where Garrett Wilson signs a $130 million contract extension, and the wide receiver money that continues to grow and grow and grow is on an ever-reaching pace. And then on the other end, you've got everything going on with the 49ers wide receiver room, where Juwan Jennings wants a new deal or a trade, one or the other, with no in between. And reports are circulating that he's looking for Cooper Kupp, Jerry Jeudy type of money. But then outside of Juwan Jennings, you've got Brandon Ayuk coming off a major knee injury with his ACL. Deebo Samuel's now a Washington Commander. You've got off-field potential DUI suspensions in that room. Ricky Pearsall obviously dealing with recovery from what he experienced in the last 12 calendar months. So starting with the Jets, Mark, what do you make of the Garrett Wilson signing and what it means to that team going forward?
Yeah, obviously, you know, Garrett Wilson's a dynamic player, had 100 plus catches last year, like 1,100 yards. I think they were both his career highs in his third year. The guy is definitely dynamic. There was some issues and consistency issues with that offense, Aaron Rodgers last year. And ultimately, if Justin Fields is going to take that leap, he's going to need a guy like Garrett Wilson to be great. Garrett Wilson was great last year, even though that offense wasn't great for the Jets last year. Dynamic, just playmaker at the wide receiver position. There's no question about that. The wide receiver position in general befuddles me a little bit because I think it's one of the more overrated positions in all of football. But one of the issues, you know, with today's NFL is we're going to throw it 65-70% of the time. So we got to have our guys. We got to have those one-on-one matchup guys. We've got to have, and, you know, and those guys are, you know, those guys can make big plays and change a game really quickly. You know, I think there's part of that. You have to have the balance to have that done. You can put up a lot of numbers and still lose a lot of games. Garrett Wilson, case in point, with Aaron Rodgers last year. So you can put up big time numbers. You know, you mentioned wants that Jerry Jeudy contract. We're talking about not Garrett Wilson, but talking about Juwan Jennings. Well, I think Jerry Jeudy, even though he had a breakout year last year for the Cleveland Browns, I still think they won four games last year. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily, wide receiver production doesn't necessarily mean, you know, playoffs and Super Bowl championships. And that to me ultimately is what it is. So I do happen to think it's somewhat of an overvalued position. There are guys who are special. Justin Jefferson is special. Ja'Marr Chase is special. You know, I think Terry McLaurin's one of the most undervalued, underrated receivers in football, and he and Washington are having their disputes over his contract. So there's a lot of guys want to get paid, and I understand it has become more and more of a passing league. So I get that aspect of it. To me, that's not necessarily really a path to winning championships, though. So there's a, you know, there's this kind of juxtaposition I find myself in. I understand the value of it. I understand how important it is, but I also understand the value of everything else that surrounds it so that you can have that success. I always joke around, 10 other guys have to do their job really well for you to even touch a football. So, you know, understand that. I'm glad for Garrett Wilson, good kid. And I'm really glad, I met his father at an airport. And what a, you know, just what an outstanding family, outstanding gentleman his father was. So really happy for him. And for the ascension and the development of Justin Fields, I think this is incredibly important because Justin Fields is one of those guys, Richie, that when you watch him, like when I watched him initially as a young player and I had a couple of Chicago games when he was a rookie, second year player, I likened him to my golf game.
Mm-hmm.
And what I meant by that was I would go out and, you know, you have 18 opportunities to hit a drive and I would shank one, you know, pull one, slice one, and all of a sudden I'd be on 16 and it'd be a par five and I'd pipe one down the middle 325 and I'd be like, damn, I got it. I'm back on. I'm in again. And that was his game, man. You'd see him, you know, airmail one, dip one, you know, bounce one into the ground. You'd see one not, you know, just be nowhere near where it's supposed to be. And all of a sudden, man, he'd have that dagger concept where that inside receiver would clear out and that outside receiver at 18 to 20 yards would cut back inside. And that bad boy was on a rope, just wham, hit the receiver in stride. He'd be taken off down the football field. And you'd be like, man, if you could just make that a repeatable motion, that this guy could be great. Because when you start looking at Justin Fields, his ability to run the ball, his ability to do all the, you know, RPO stuff and the run option stuff that he has, dude is dynamic, and you got to have a playmaker outside for him to kind of have that, you know. Even when he had DJ Moore back in Chicago, man, they got him from the Carolina Panthers. DJ Moore put up numbers. So I think Garrett Wilson will put up numbers. You just like to see that transition, him to just get better and better. And I thought he was making strides in Pittsburgh last year under Arthur Smith, their offense coordinator, the way they were running the ball and the way, you know, he was orchestrating that turn, not turning it over as much and all that stuff. So really good for Garrett Wilson. I think it bodes well for the Jets, and hopefully, you know, it helps that continued development of Justin Fields. Cause if he can figure it out, and he's gotten better every year, I do think he could be the solution at quarterback for the Jets. In regards to the Niners, man, you know, I have an affinity for Kyle Shanahan. I've known Kyle Shanahan since he's probably 12 years old. He was on our sidelines, you know, on Super Bowls. He's the last guy ever in Super Bowl history to hold the cord for the head coach before they went to wireless. Yeah. So he was holding Mike Shanahan's cord in Super Bowl 33. And then the next year, I believe they went to cordless. So he's the last cord holder for a Super Bowl head coach. Like, this is how ridiculous, like how long I've known Kyle Shanahan for. And they had so many issues last year. You know, Deebo Samuel was fighting. Deebo Samuel was unhappy with his, you know, situation there. He wants to become more of a wide receiver and less of a gadget player. Then you had Ayuk, who, you know, was upset and held out and, you know, and finally got the contract, then blew his ACL out in week 7. And then now it's Juwan Jennings, who got his opportunity. And I'll give Juwan Jennings a ton of credit, man. That dude balled out of control. First and foremost, he's always been an antagonist, right? That right. dude is a tough ass football player. Played quarterback. He's a backup quarterback for the Rocket Man back in the day at Tennessee. Wow. And then transitioned. Yeah. So what's that cat's name? Dobbs.
Yeah.
Joshua Dobbs. He was the backup for Joshua Dobbs, Tennessee, transitioned over to wide receiver. That dude, I called the game late in the season against Arizona where he got kicked out of the game because he is just like, he's just trying to fight people, man. He is tough, but he showed that he could be that next guy. He showed that he could be an X receiver. He showed that he could do a lot of things well. And he's got that toughness and that ability to block people and all those things. So he's sitting at $7.5 million this year and saying, hey, dude, I want to get mine. I'm not asking for, you know, I'm not asking for the kind of money that Jamar Chase got or the kind of money that Jefferson gets, but I should be getting $20 million a year. And, you know, frankly, if he's going to be the start next, because I don't think, you know, I think they're going to start the season with Ayuk on PUP. Like, does he deserve 20? Somewhere in there, like 17, 8, whatever it is. And so I hate to see this for the Niners because they had a lot of that angst and a lot of that grief and a lot of that things just don't feel right attitude about the Niners. And it felt like this offseason was more about let's get these things rectified. Ricky Pearsall really came on, played well. Ayuk will be back. We found and developed Juwan Jennings. We got some young players on the defense that will take over for Hufanga, who's now in Denver, Greenlaw, who is now in also in Denver. I just felt like, hey, man, you know, calm seas are going to be important. And now all of a sudden, right before training camp, the Niners are dealing with issues again, contract issues with Juwan Jennings. That to me, Richie, feels like a recipe for disaster and a problem for a quarterback that you just paid that you still probably have deep down inside a few questions that have to be answered. Mm.
Yeah, I was just about to say, when it comes to overvaluing, undervaluing, or finding that sweet spot in the wide receiver position, it's pretty heavily dependent on and tied to the quarterback. And in the case of the 49ers, they at least, from a financial standpoint, have made the statement that they feel confident they've found an answer by paying Brock Purdy, a guy who was gone from Mr. Irrelevant to starting in a Super Bowl to being in an NFC Championship game, and being someone that they think they can ultimately cross that mountaintop that Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, could not, and some of their previous quarterbacks, Alex Smith and the like, could not. So even if it's just out of obligation to the window they feel like they found themselves in now, with the defense of the caliber that they have, the quarterback that they just paid, is there somewhat of an obligation on behalf of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch to concede to the demand of a Juwan Jennings, if it's Cooper Kupp, Jerry Jeudy style of money, and pay him to lock in a playmaker after you let Debo walk? You're dealing with Ayuk coming off a big knee injury, and you've got off-field issues and possible suspensions at other areas. Do the 49ers almost owe it to Brock Purdy and to themselves to just, even if it's, hey, we got to pay a little bit more than we need to lock a guy in that they know that they can be a 17-week kind of receiver for him week in and week out?
Yeah, I listen, man. Juwan Jennings is one of my favorite players in the league. The dude is a badass. I mean, he's just a badass. And last year, I think he went from just being a badass that mixes it up, that, you know, when you want to insert a wide receiver, you know, motion him in, insert him, block a safety. You want him to be a part of the running game. You want him to do some things like that. Like, that dude is a full grown ass man. Like, he is all that. But what they found out last year is, damn, guy is actually pretty decent wide receiver as well. And so, you know, I think they readjusted his contract, if I remember correctly, last year a little bit. Like, I think if I'm the 49ers, I'm like, hey, man, I want continuity. I don't want going into camp. I don't want issues. And I don't want to necessarily acquiesce to the demands of a guy. But can we do what Denver did last year, for instance, with Cortland Sutton? Can we come back to him and say, hey, listen, man, we're going to incentivize your contract. You know, you've got a base of $7.5 million. We're going to bump you up to 13. And then we're going to give you some incentives, playing time, you know, how many catches you have, all that kind of stuff. You can earn, you know, you can earn 20. Let's do this 1 year, like, whatever. Let's do this 1 year deal. Because if, like, we don't have to trade you, and we can just make you sit and get $7.5 million. So I've got to believe the Niners understand the value of Juwan Jennings, especially kind of what he does in the run game, how they're built and constructed as a football team with, you know, with Ayuk coming off the ACL from week 7. I've got to believe that they'll be able to find a little bit of common ground, make him happy for at least a year, and then, you know, and then deal with the consequences of that later. But I, you know, this is one of the things that I had talked about in regards to Denver last year. You know, they always have these, this time of year, all these lists, right? And one of the lists was, hey, the strength of your roster, where does each team line up from a strength of roster standpoint? And when the Broncos came out, you know, I had just started doing, when this list came out, I had just started doing the FS1 TV show. And it was, hey, the Broncos ranked, I think, 30th or 31st on most of these lists. And the way I addressed that was, it's just asinine, because, you know, it's 30 or 31st because there's no name value here.
Right.
But if you actually watch the guys play, like, they've got a really good roster. And obviously I was proven correct in that, because, you know, they had a top level defense and they won a lot more games than people anticipated. Their over under was 5.5. And I was like, on every platform I was on, pound the over, you'll win money. And of course they went 10-7. Like, I look at San Francisco, cause I did a game last year at the end of the year. Pearsall in the last 3 or 4 games was playing his ass off. Mm-hmm. Juwan Jennings was like becoming a real true X and still had that ability to, you know, run the jet sweeps and do all the things that Debo did and still fighting in the run game and all that kind of stuff. So they had all these kind of assets that were developing under Kyle Shanahan, because so many guys got injured on the defensive side of the ball. Man, they had 3 or 4 defensive backs. Mustafa was mm-hmm. Like that dude was just killing people, like literally killing people. And so I kept looking at him going, like, this team is really their prime. So when they let go of Debo and they let go of some you know, veteran players like Greenlaw and Hufanga, where everybody else is panicked, like, oh, the name value is gone. I was like, nah, don't worry about the name value. They've developed some young players, you know, that can play. And so I like kind of where they are right now. I just think that it's vital that they get Juwan Jennings addressed and get him, you know, happy and in camp. And I'm not saying acquiesce to all his demands, but make it equitable and make it fair.